All right. I am sitting down with Nomvelo. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Please introduce yourself and what you do.
Okay. My name is Nomvelo Mabika. I am a pharmacist, community pharmacist at the moment. Yeah, that's about it.
Community pharmacist. Yes. Okay. I think we'll come back to that question.
We shall.
First of all, what sparked your interest into pharmacy?
So, I think in high school, I always had the vision of being in the sciences with the subjects that I took. Obviously, it was like your maths, life sciences, physical science, et cetera, et cetera. So I always knew that I wanted to be doing something in the sciences, but I think more towards grade 11 or so, that's when I realized, you know, actually health sciences is more something that I'm passionate about. Mm-hmm. And it then so happened that one day, my friend and I were on break at school, and there was like a career day, orientation day type of vibe for the matrix. Because, you know, when universities come through and they advertise themselves, et cetera, et cetera. Then we found one of those pamphlets, and it was from Rose University.
Sure.
Then we went through it, and then we saw that they offered pharmacy. We're like, okay, this sounds interesting, reading the description. We're like, okay, this sounds cool, this sounds cool. So from that time, then that's where I actually even knew pharmacy was a thing, you know? And so matric, yeah, then when I had to apply for school, out of all the applications that I did, pharmacy was my top choice.
Option, yeah.
And I was fortunate enough to be accepted at Rhodes University. Of course, it was one of my choices.
Yes.
And so, yeah, that's then how I ended up here.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you see yourself as a drug dealer?
Of course, the legal one. Of course.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, a legal one, but
a legal one. Oh, yes, no, definitely.
Definitely a drug dealer. Yeah. Yes.
And then you get to study it. Mm-hmm. Was the passion the same, or did anything shock you, or did anything that you like?
No, it was definitely a bit of a shock.
Okay.
Yeah. The thing is, before you actually start pharmacy, I think with most careers, people will give you that impression that it's very difficult.
Oh.
Oh my gosh, it's this and this. People fail. People this and that. And I mean, if you're passionate about it, you just want to go forward, you know, and still study that.
And you've made up your mind.
Hey, of course. Once you've committed, commit, you know, follow through. So
sure.
I did the same thing. And I was just like, I'm not going to pay attention to the naysayers. I mean, if I pass, I pass. If I don't, it's part of life. You know, we trip, we fall, we get back up again. Cool. But I wasn't prepared.
Okay.
So got to university. First year was, you know, was all right. It was basically kind of like BSc. Then got to second year. Second year I saw flames. I'm not even going to lie. Zakala for real.
Sure.
So that's when I was just like, hey, boy, this is what they were talking about. When they said this degree is difficult, this is what they meant. And then, I mean, I still passed. I still completed my degree, you know, in record time in 4 years.
Beautiful.
Thanks. Yeah. But I think that's when I actually realized, I need to take it seriously. Mm. It's not a walk in the park.
Sure.
It is a very difficult degree, but it's not impossible to do. But even so, even if you do fail, you know, with any qualification, I mean, if you do fail, they still give you a chance to, you know, get it right, et cetera, et cetera. So it's no different. You can still make it. You can still finish the degree.
Sure.
But yeah, it is a challenge. I won't lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What shocked you in that second year?
It's the fact that I was looking failure in the eye.
Mm.
And throughout high school, I was one of those, like, I wouldn't say, no. I wasn't really like a top achiever.
You were there.
I did the bare minimum, and but I was getting good marks. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So in varsity, then that's when I was looking failure like head on, and I'm just like, you know what? You can't continue like this. Mm. And then, I mean, I had a plan, and I put my plan in action, and yeah. And then from there, I was just on an upward scale, you know,
sure.
Because I was applying the things that I had learned from that failure, because it was halfway through the year. My module marks came back, and I'm just like, what? I'm like, what is happening? Is this me? Has there been a mistake somewhere? What is this? Sure. No, those marks are shocking, honestly. But I think it's a wake-up call that I needed to actually take things seriously. Mm. So I was grateful for that, yeah.
Interesting. I find that interesting so much. I'm trying to think now. So what is it that you did? You said you had a plan, right?
Yeah.
What is it that you did that made you graduate and to finish it record time? Because I think probably you might have left some of your classmates, but maybe just to advise someone there, what is it that you did? What is it that you applied? What is it that you find out? Mm-hmm. And maybe also, I think you might have touched a bit on it, which is, what did you learn and lost learn about yourself? So maybe just explain what is it that you did and also tell me what you learned about yourself as well.
I think the first thing was the realization that I need to make it work for myself, knowing where I come from. And I remember telling myself in the beginning of the degree that I need to get this degree because there's no one else that is going to help me out there. You know, I can't now look to family to always have my back. You know, I need to do it for
myself.
Make
it work, yeah.
Right? And I told myself when I was like, Nomvelo, this degree is 4 years long. You are going to do it in 4 years. So I think when failure was looking me in the eye, I had to remind myself of, you know, that pledge that I took. To say, it's 4 years, you're going to finish it in 4 years. So what do you need to do? Remind yourself of where you come from. Remind yourself, and see, if you fail here, what are you going home to? Not saying that I'm going home to basically like nothing, but it's not going to be comfortable. I'm not going to have a nice apartment that someone is paying for. I'm not going to be driving a fancy car that someone has paid for. No, those are things that I have to work for myself, you know? So I was like, okay, cool. You now need to be more dedicated than what you were. Scraping through is not going to cut it. Clearly, it's not going to cut it. Doing the bare minimum is not going to cut it. So you need to pull up your socks.
Sure.
You know, and I'm a perfectionist and I'm very hard on myself at times. So I wasn't going to allow that to consume me. I wasn't going to allow failure to consume me because I was like, no, but it needs to work out the way that you envisioned it working out in the beginning, which is 4 years. So I had to just stick to that plan. No, I was studying, shame. I was studying. But I think the nice thing also was that my circle, you know, my friends were also people that were very focused. And I was like, look at the people around you. You can't be slacking, can't be bringing down the group average. Ma'am, sure. What? You know, sure. Like during exam time, I have friends in journalism, in accounting, et cetera. Like we were grinding, and other friends in pharmacy as well. You know, we were grinding and I was just like, I can't be sleeping when other kids are studying.
Sure.
Because like, what are you relying on? You're not going home to a nice, comfortable life there.
Yeah.
If, you know, things don't work out here. So I think that also kept me going as well. Like looking at the people that are around me that were doing amazing things. I mean, I was even studying with my friend at the journalism department. Like, you know, she was like sneak me in because they had like a nice fancy
department.
No, it was cute.
Sure.
And yeah, I would stay there and yeah, I would leave in the early hours of the morning, you know, and I had never been that dedicated. I had never been that person. Like, it was like, after lectures, I'm going to come back, take a nap, wake up, study throughout the night, leave, go home, nap, you know, come back to doing the same thing over and over during exam time. I had never been that person. But when failure was, you know, we were man-o-man-o-man, eye to eye and failure. Yeah, no, I had to do something. So yeah, you just need to just be dedicated and just dig deep. It's possible.
I love your story, man, because it's recurring. It's a recurring story with most of my guests. They talk about the failure is the one thing that make people change. Definitely. Make people like, no, I'm not going back to where I'm coming from. Mm. And for different people, it's different motivations. Mm. And I actually like your story because I'm going to come to the question now is, I had a similar thing. I didn't want to go home because back home, they always ask you, oh, so what year are you? Unfortunately, I'm the one who failed. And they're asking, is this guy doing dog? Is he a doctor? What's happening?
Why are you taking so long? Why are they taking exactly. him so long?
What is he doing there? So it got so bad that I actually stopped going home for 2 years up until I completed.
Sure.
So I'm just loving how failure pushes us to different places. And I think what you understand about yourself after that, Mr. Failure, that okay, you can actually still push. Mm. And it says a lot about our characters.
100%.
That when we face failure, we must come through for ourselves.
100%.
Right? Can you please just explain the power of association? Because it feels like association just really pushed you and your mates. And I think maybe with power of association is how did it feel like graduating when you guys were up there dancing?
Amazing.
I know it, you came and it's like it's a vibe there.
It's a vibe. Sure. No, we have to be all points. But I mean, it's turned around.
Yeah.
But back in the day with us as well, like it was just, no, it was amazing. And I think we all graduated the same year, most of my friends and I. And yeah, no, it was amazing. And as you say, the power of association. I mean, we're still quite tight now, you know, most of my friends from varsity, and it's still the same thing. Like we are still go-getters, you know, the motivation is still there. Like you're always clapping for someone in the circle, or you know, people are always making moves. And it's really nice to be part of, I'll say, like a community of friends like that push you to, you know, push yourself as well, to motivate yourself to do big and do more than just the ordinary. You know, it's I'm blessed, honestly. I'm blessed.
And I think most of the time is even our friends, that people that we call friends, is it's actually people that we came out with from varsity.
100%.
Because I mean, the older we get, the harder it is to get genuine friends.
Uh-huh. And to keep friends.
To keep friends. Exactly.
Yeah. Because I mean, we're all busy, we're tied up with this and that. But yeah, it is difficult, especially because the friendship, the dynamics change, you know, as the years go.
As a parent.
As seasons. Exactly. We all enter different phases in our lives, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so it is difficult to maintain friendships. And obviously, it's not going to be the same as it was in varsity. In varsity, what were we doing? We were all just there studying. We'd go to the dining hall all at the same time. We'd go to the library at the same time. We'd go out partying at the same time. We'd go to gym at the same time. Now we're not doing that. We're in different provinces, some different countries. You know, let's say for myself, I don't have children, but I'm now not going to relate all the time to someone that does have children. Our schedules might not fall, you know, together anymore. Like if I say, oh no, let's go for lunch every single Saturday, my friend with a child is not going to be able to rock up for lunch. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but I mean, as long as the friendship circle is still tight, as long as you know that person still has your back, you know, you're still clapping for each other here and there. I think that's the most important thing.
Beautiful. You get to practice your drug dealer thing. Right?
Yeah.
How is it like? But I think you guys, you do practicals as well.
Yes, you do.
Okay, we're going to skip the practicals and varsity. We're going to talk about the actual work, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you get to actually practice. How is it like? Maybe let me just put it like that.
It's interesting. It's very dynamic. No day is the same. It's interesting. It opens your eyes up to a lot, especially because of the sector of pharmacy that I am involved in. It's community pharmacy, or like retail, layman's term. So
say that again. It's community?
Retail, it's retail pharmacy. Okay. But it falls under community pharmacy when you talk about the sectors of pharmacy.
Okay.
And so obviously I interact with patients a lot on a daily basis. That's literally what I do. I'm dispensing medication to people that are right in front of me. And that for me has been the biggest game changer in my career. You come across people from different walks of life, you know, and I mean, you can imagine South Africa is very diverse. So you will have an encounter with someone from the poorest of the poorest communities, and you know, you will reflect after the day and be on time, yo, I'm so blessed. I'm coming home to after your day. Okay, your day's been done and you come back and you're like, yo, I'm so blessed. I have a home to go home to. You know, I've got food at my table. Whereas the person that I dealt with earlier on doesn't have that luxury. And then you'll deal with people that are like wealthy, wealthy. And they'll tell you about where they've traveled, what they've done, what they do to acquire their wealth. And you're just like, there's someone right in front of me who is, you know, at that level. It's possible, you know. So it opens your eyes up to a lot of things. And I think that's the one thing that I appreciate the most about it. Mm. Yeah.
Interesting. Please just explain the different sectors for in pharmacy, just to help someone who's trying to get into the field, mm-hmm. just to know, okay, there's community and there's okay. hospital or there's whatever.
Yes, yes, yes.
Just to please just explain all of them if you can.
Okay. Okay, let me do it like this. It's quite diverse, but basically there's community pharmacy, which is like your retail space. And then there's hospital pharmacy, which self-explanatory, and then there is production, so where they actually make the medication. So like your big pharmaceutical companies,
the guys who cook it,
the guys that make it from scratch, from nothing to something, to that tablet that you see in your hand, or that syrup.
Mm.
Yeah. So yes, and then within those sectors, then there are obviously then those subsectors, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, then there's okay. research, obviously, then sure. academia. Yeah. So I think that's about it.
Beautiful. I think I like that. Mm. So what is it that you enjoy the most about pharmacy?
The challenge. I think the challenge. More than anything, in terms of every day being different, as I said. So you learn with the challenges that you face. And I mean, I'm not saying like challenges and like, oh my gosh, it's so difficult every day. No. But I mean, you always learn something new every day. I mean, a doctor can prescribe something that you've never seen. A patient can tell you about a side effect that they're having to medication that you've never heard about. You know, there could be a contraindication to a certain drug that you didn't know about and you discover on the day. So yeah, it's different. In my sector specifically, I mean, it can be very, very vast, the things that you learn. So you always learning. That's the one thing that I enjoy the most about it.
Retailers,
mm-hmm.
what's your relationship with, what's the relationship that you have with doctors? Because I know probably the hospital pharmacist, it probably direct, feels like it's direct, but for you guys, it seems like you're a bit far because it just comes from a different GP from somewhere and then you ride there. And somehow you guys know how to read the
And then people always say, oh, do you guys learn? This is not in school.
Exactly.
And we're like, yo, we learn that on the job. That's part of the challenges. Sure. That's part of the daily challenges. And you must go to your colleague and be on time. What do you see? Yeah, I see this. Yeah. What do you see? Do you see the same thing that I see?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. That's the daily thing. But you obviously build connection relationships depending on the area that you're in.
Sure.
Yeah. So you will know that there's this and this and this GP, there's this and this and this gynae, there's this pediatrician, et cetera, et cetera. And obviously, I mean, sometimes we have to interact with the doctors and be inside, hi doc, I see you here, you wrote this and this and this, just wanted to double check, or the dosage here says this and this and that, the weight of the child is A, B, and C, et cetera, et cetera. So then you end up knowing those doctors as well, because obviously, I mean, when we call in for clarity on a prescription, we don't speak to the receptionist, we have to speak to the doctor.
Okay,
so then you introduce yourself, of course. Hi, this is Nomvelo, I'm calling you from pertaining to patient ABC, wada wada. And then obviously, and then if you then build relationships around all of that. So it is still close-knit, you know, as much as obviously in the hospital, they see each other every day, mostly, well, I would assume so, you know, or they interact more with us. It's not as often, but we do have those interactions every now and again.
Mm. Okay, let me not ask funny questions.
Ask what you want to ask.
No, I think I'll just go to the script. I'll stick to the script.
Yeah, ask the question.
So basically is, the trends, what are the trends that are in, what are the trends in terms of the changing, the introduction of new medicines, mm-hmm. and because some of these things are being improved,
mm-hmm.
and so how do you manage the trends that are changing, and how do you keep yourself informed of the new medicines that are coming in, or is it too is it hard to introduce something new to you guys?
There are ways of us staying up to date. So it can be one of many things, actually. Let's say, for instance, a doctor prescribes something new that we've never seen. You can go on to, well, you can, we have reference books that we can go to. You quickly go into your reference book. We've got apps on our phones as well. Quickly check it out. And also we've got pharmaceutical reps that usually come in. We get that a lot, especially in our space in community pharmacy. I mean, they'll come in every now and again. Oh, hi, guys, this is our new product, blah, 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 blah. It's the same as this and that. Advantages over a company ABC is this and this and that, you know. So we learn a lot from them, and they will come in, do trainings, we'll go out, we'll do trainings, education. So it's always educational in that sense. Also, we are required every year with the South African Pharmacy Council to submit CPD activities. So with that, it's a continuous from professional development.
Okay.
Yeah. So with that, every single year you get marked to say you've submitted 6 activities, and with that then they will ask you, so you're going to reflect on an activity that you've done. You write that, I let's say for instance a patient came in and I consulted them about allergies, and I learned that allergies are in the air usually around springtime, and I provided them with this medication, you know, this class of drug, etc., etc. Very silly example, but yeah. So you learn through that as well. So yeah, there are ways of us keeping up. And obviously, I mean, you get articles as well. There are different websites that you can subscribe to that will send you articles on new drugs that come out, etc., etc., or new research that's been done. And yeah, so there are definitely a lot of ways of us keeping up.
How does growth look like in pharmacy?
I know growth looks exciting, guys. Okay. Growth looks exciting. I think the one other trend that I've realized, I'm going to call myself a newer pharmacist, because I mean, I haven't been in the game for like 10 years or whatever. Yes. So I'll still say I'm still quite new and fresh. We are branching out and spreading our wings in terms of acquiring degrees or qualifications that don't necessarily pertain to pharmacy. So that's pretty cool. I mean, I've met so many people, and myself as well, like I'm doing my master's, but it's not in pharmacy, you know. So a lot of people that are doing their master's or like post-grad qualifications in other sectors, you know, like in finance, in law, and, you know, management. And so the future looks very exciting for pharmacy, because, I mean, now we are going to try and integrate pharmacy with other sectors as well, okay. You know, or like specialize, be a little bit more specialized,
like rather sports than, or something like that.
You see, you know, rather than just being a mundane pharmacist, you know, as we are used to. So yeah.
I think what I meant also on that is there something that you can do to make sure that you grow in the company, or maybe I just want to understand what does that growth looks like. So is it only just studying or submitting those CD forgot the name,
CPD, yeah, continuing professional development, yeah, sure. Yeah,
is that what you mean? So if you're doing those CPD, you're recognized, like if you do like maybe 10, does it do anything to your growth as a pharmacist?
No, not necessarily. That's just a requirement from our council.
Okay.
But I mean, in the space that you are in, of course, experience will always count. Yeah, sure. Yeah, that will always count. I mean, if you've been in a company for 5 years though, I feel like bring more to the table than just your experience for 5 years.
Yeah.
I think that's why, as I mentioned, like
you're doing something else.
They are getting qualifications so that you get gaps in the market, you know. So sometimes experience isn't everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like with myself, you know, the rationale that I had with doing my master's now was it might not count for me this year or next year, but in the next 5 years, it will then tally with the experience that I have, then that qualification will become valid. So I think studying and upskilling yourself, that's very, very important.
Okay.
You know, it does set you apart, because everyone that's got a pharmacy degree, we can all do the same thing. We can all do the same job. You know, that's the one thing that the pharmacy schools have ensured. Whichever sector of pharmacy that you're in, you are going to fit in, you will know what's going on. So that's not really going to set you apart. So upskilling yourself is actually the best thing that will allow you to put a foot in the door. It's something bigger than just, you know, your average pharmacist. Yeah.
Okay. So you're saying that the years, which is experience, is a way that you grow as a pharmacist, mm-hmm. but the best way to do it is to have something else that complements the degree.
Have more.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Oh my God. Why did I forget my question?
What's going on?
So, it's going to come.
Okay. It's fine.
Oh, I wanted to ask about your master's. Yes.
Oh, yes.
So, what are you doing in your master's stuff?
I'm doing an MBA at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
MBA. Mm-hmm. How is it going?
It's tough. It's flames. It's tough.
That's why you said you're doing something in finance. And then how are you going to marry? Are you going to change pharmacy completely, or are you going to marry your MBA with pharmacy?
I'm hoping I can marry the two.
Sure.
Because pharmacy is my first love, but I'm not trying to stay within pharmacy and just pure pharmacy the rest of my life. I want to branch out into different things because, I mean, I know myself. I'm not just like a one trick show, if you can, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I want to at least have access to other industries, and I want to exercise my intelligence, if I can put it like that, you know, in different sectors as well. And I hope that I can still be within health sciences, mm-hmm. you know, but I'm hoping that my degree will open up other avenues for me as well.
Sure.
Yeah.
What is it that you're liking the most about your MBA?
That I like?
Like, yeah.
About the
enjoying, yes.
About
the MBA.
No, it's so eye-opening. It's okay. So eye-opening. It, sure, things that I have never ever thought about. Things that, and also I think it makes you pop out of your comfort zone, because all we know is science, maths, you know, health, anatomy, physiology, you know, pharmacology, whatever. And now I must be thinking about balancing a what do you call this in accounting, you know, like, and I'm just like, okay, cool, guys, let's start from like grade 9, grade 10, bring me back, what, sure. You know? So, I mean, there's project management, you think about those, there's marketing involved there. So it's just opening my eyes to a lot of things. And I think I'm also finding passions of different industries that are very different to what I'm used to. And you're an academic writing, guys. In varsity, we did not do academic writing, yes. to that extent. And now I must be out here with this type of English. And I'm just there like, you know, you can't sound like you are like a grade 10 student writing a creative writing essay.
Yeah.
It needs to sound like it's an academic.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also been challenging because, I mean, you know, with us, like it was more, how can I put it? It was more theory and then practicals. Sure. And our practicals were in the lab.
Mm.
So that's what we're marked on.
Okay.
And now I'm doing a degree where there's no practical. I must know the theory and I must be able to turn that into something that I understand, or make the other person understand that I understand that. But now I must sound like an academic, and I'm just like, guys, what is this? What is going on? Mm. So it's very different to what I'm used to. So I think that's been the biggest challenge. But I like that. I like that it's forcing me to actually learn more and to grow more. Mm. Yeah.
You said you need to try different degrees,
mm-hmm.
to kind of like marry them with your pharmacy. Why did you choose MBA?
I want to discover different talents, you know, that I have or that I possess. And I'm always looking for, okay, this might be a terrible thing about myself. I'm working on it. I'm always trying to find the next this thing, you know? So I feel like with pharmacy, I mean, if you're always doing the same thing or the same industry, it does get boring. So with an MBA, it at least opens up different almost avenues.
All sectors.
Sure. You know, I can tap into whatever I want to, you know, get into. So, and I'm still figuring that out as well. Like in the next couple of years, then I think I'll know that, okay, this is why.
Yeah. I mean, God works in miraculous ways. 100%. And you never know why you chose that or to pinpoint, because, okay, I feel like I'm going to get to preaching now.
Oh, hallelujah.
But there's something that I've just reflected on. I think probably it's a poem that I actually wrote, which we're not allowed to see the bigger picture, which basically means that you can do something, but it's only, it's like someone said once said that life makes sense in hindsight. So everything, usually most of the time, is when you look back, you're like, yeah, it now makes sense.
No, I definitely believe in that
and
as well.
Sure. And I think for you as well, it's a beautiful thing to know that you're still continuing, continuous improvement on your side.
Mm-hmm.
And Stacker Podcast is about that.
Yeah.
We love continuous improvement, and that's how we grow as individuals, and you learn more about yourself. And I think even that time when you're talking about failure and everything, you're getting to learn more. So being uncomfortable about something, I think Jordan Peterson, he talks about something like that, that you need to get into an adventure of learning a new skill. 100%. And I think for you as well, it's like learning a new skill, like you're saying, writing and all those stuff. So it's part of what we advocate as Stacker Podcast, that let's continue learning, let's continue growing, let's be people of value. And I think you have been a breath of fresh air to the podcast. And I know I really fought to try to get you through. And thank you so much for coming. It was so hard to convince you to come through.
I know.
You so much for coming through, hey.
Thank you for having me. Yeah. This has been, very different to anything that I would have ever imagined myself taking part in. And yeah, I told you I'm a shy person. But this has been amazing.
Yeah, I really appreciate you, Nomvelo. And I believe that probably you can just bring some of your colleagues as well to come through.
Sure.
If you have colleagues in the hospital, so that at least they can just share their side of the hospital side.
And different industries as well.
Yes, that would love to come through. I really appreciate you. And thank you for trusting us as well. I'm like, it's not easy to just have a stranger tell you that, hey, man, this is what's happening, and I really appreciate you coming through.
You know, this country that we live in, having a stranger just give you an address and say, come.
Exactly. it's not as easy.
Yeah.
It's not as easy.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, we've seen even in the movies, what's the name of that movie again? The one about child trafficking and stuff.
There's a lot of those also.
Freedom, Sons of Freedom. I think that's the latest one.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay, I haven't seen that one.
So it's something like that. And it's a scary world. It can just be safe. But thank you so much for trusting us. And hopefully we look trustful and you came through. And thank you so much.
Always deceiving.
Yeah, but thank you so much. I think in closing, I always ask my guest, please advise someone out there who wants to come into your field, or just say anything that can be a word of encouragement to someone.
Number one, the degree is just the beginning. You know, I think for me, the one thing that I realized when I went out into the world is that your internship year is very important, because that basically dictates the direction in which you are going to go and the field that you are going to specialize in, you know. So choose that very wisely, number one. Also, when you say that you're a pharmacist, nobody's going to ask you how long it took you to be a pharmacist, whether it took you 4 years or it took you 6 years. You still got the qualification. You have the qualification, and that's everything that matters. Nobody's going to ask you if you got you know, 50s. Summa cum laude, or you're on the dean's list, or you just scrape through with 50%, but you have the qualification. Trust that, because you have the qualification, that's everything that you need, you know. So also, yeah, your internship year is very important, but also don't settle. I mean, I've met pharmacists that, and I'm not saying that this is a terrible thing, but I've met pharmacists that have been pharmacists in the same position for 13 years, 8 years, and I'm like, that is crazy. I could never, you know, arrive in a space and occupy that space intentionally. You know, whatever career space that you are in, occupy it intentionally. Don't just be there to just be there, you know, to get a salary at the end of the month. That's not the point. You are there for a reason. You are there to fulfill a certain purpose. So be intentional about that. So grow, learn new things, upskill yourself and grow, you know, so that you can go from strength to strength and not be in the same place for 13 years. You're not adding value at that point. You know, you are just a person. You're just a Karen that's just, oh no, there's Karen from what, you know what I mean? Be different, arrive in a space, be impactful. So yeah, I think that's my piece.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate you coming through, and definitely gonna have another one. We're just gonna get deep into MBA pharmacy, and Stega Podcast is really rooting for you, and go for that MBA. And we wanna see the news headlines say something, Miss Mamika. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's part of our culture. We try to create a culture of competent people and who are striving to learn. I think the other name of our podcast is the Learn and Thrive podcast.
Love that.
So you just learn and thrive and just love continue that. Growing. And yeah, I think maybe I'll just close with the words of my mentor. He says just continue growing. Or maybe he said, work is part of our life. We spend 8 hours at work.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just responding to what you said, that the first place where you go for an internship is very much important, because that's where you end up latching on, or some the things that you learn there is part of the things that you carry.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's your life. Mm-hmm. So take work seriously. And I'm just affirming what you said. Let's take our work seriously and let's just continue doing better.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
In a nutshell, thank you so much, everyone who was listening. Cheers.
Bye.